Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Da-da-da-da-da. Good morning, everyone. You're staying warm wherever you are. I'm opening up the chat room now. Feel free to join us. BTR Radio. Yes, the show is called Comedy Concepts because, well, I'm a comedian and I'm a mom. But it's always not all comedy. Sometimes I like to veer off on something I think is important, and that is raising children. Now, our children today are kind of unaware in a lot of ways. They're desensitized a little bit by television or games that they play, and they see the news, but do they really comprehend the news and what's going on around the world and who these people are that things are happening to? And that's why I've chosen today's guest. He's written a very interesting book called Raising Global Children, Ways Parents Can Help Our Children Grow Up Ready to Succeed in a Multicultural Global Economy. And this is so true, and it's something that surrounds us in everyday life. If you go to a restaurant with foreign food, if you go anywhere, questions about it. Be informative. And this book brings these points up in a very informative way. As a parent, I really appreciate this. And the book is by Stacy Burdan and Marshall Burdan, happen to be a husband and wife, co-authors of Raising Global Children. So it's a really interesting book, and I just recently read it, and I was very impressed. So many stories from so many parents. Very interesting, and not only that, very informative on how to raise a global child. And why don't we just get right to it and bring Stacy Burdan on. Stacy, are you there?
Hi, Nancy. Yes,
hi.
I am.
I love
hi
the
there.
Book. Very informative. Being a New Yorker, you know, we're surrounded by we are the world, basically, in New York City. Everywhere you go, to every type of food, which is one of the things I love about here. But I loved in your book that it's a step-by-step guide for parents who don't know, how do I begin and how do I start? And I know you're a parent yourself.
Yes, we've got twin daughters who are almost 14.
Oh, good times are coming. That's great. I have a teen son. But I love that you and your husband work together. What was that like collaborating?
Well, it was great, actually. It was a wonderful process. My first three books, actually, he's always served as a great editor because he's a terrific writer. But this one we agreed that because this book is really based on our own parenting philosophy. You know, we really do believe in empowering youth with the knowledge, skills, and awareness necessary to becoming global citizens. And we've got these two great daughters with whom we've been practicing this for the last 14 years. So we decided to write it together, and it was a great combination because he's a very thoughtful, practical thinker and a great great writer. And so we would discuss things, outline it, and work together. You know, it's I was a little nervous at first because I've worked in the corporate world. Type that kind of, you know, gets things done and is used to telling people what to do and how to do it, and it's not really that easy to do when you're working as a collaborator with your spouse because you don't ever leave the office. We both work at home. But it was a terrific experience, and I think the book is a wonderful product of both a father's and a mother's perspective on raising global children.
And as a parent, I appreciate that the book is written by parents, for parents. You know what we want to know. You know what we need to know. And that's what I just really love, that part of it. And you've been pretty much called upon by a lot of different venues to speak because of your extensive knowledge on this subject. And you travel a great deal on top of it. This is really, it's a great thing. I never had to read so much technical stuff in my life as a parent. Who knew that would happen? That you'd have to know so much to raise, and it's very important. I myself come from a multicultural home, growing up with two languages in my head. So I often, when I was growing up, Stacy, my mother, I would say, Mom, let me speak Spanish. No, you're not. I'll say it in her accent. You won't need it. You're going to college. Stacy, what's the first thing they make you learn in college?
Yeah,
another language.
Right? Yeah, well, you're so lucky, Nancy. You're so lucky that actually you grew up in a bilingual household, because that's one of the things that we stress so much in this book is the importance of learning a second or a third language. And you're lucky you had it in your household, and that's great, and so many other families do. But so many don't, and our schools don't actually bring it into the school system until maybe high school for 2 or 3 years. And by then, many times it's so difficult to learn a language, or as you mentioned, when you go on to college. So you're fortunate, and it's one of the most important parts of the book is to encourage parents to actually follow that lead, to help your child learn a second language. And if you don't have it in your school system, try to advocate for getting it into the school system and as early as possible. Or there are steps, and there are so many programs, many of them free, actually, online, where you can actually tools. You can help your child get started in learning a language as early as possible.
And another way is to purchase the book. And to get started with that and to read up on this, it really is important to be a well-read parent. You really have to know all the facts, what you're getting into, and this book is so helpful in that way. So why don't you start with some of the main points of how would you get a person started, say, in the early years?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is kind of like a mind shift, because globalization is here, but a lot of people don't know what to do with it. I think one of the greatest gifts we can do is help our children and prepare them for this globally connected world. And a few things, just kind of parameters kind of to set the stage. We really have to inspire our children to be curious about the world and to become globally aware.
I read about it. It's in your book. Would you bring out some of those points? I thought that was very interesting, the way you slid in the information to the children.
Yeah, I think a few things. Restaurants, absolutely. There are all kinds of ways to do it. One of the foundations that we believe in is encouraging some of these skills that enable kind of cross-cultural interactions, such as curiosity, open-mindedness, adaptability. And the earlier you start with children, the easier it is actually to open their minds and to enable them to appreciate difference, and that different isn't bad, it's just different. And whether it's with food and music and books and art museums, going to the library, public libraries are wonderful treasure troves filled with global information and magazines. The internet is filled with it. So it's all simple ways to get started with young children, just exposing them to things, again, that are different. And yourself as a parent, maybe some of us aren't as comfortable eating Vietnamese food or watching a foreign film. And I think if our children see that we actually are also curious about this, that we also want to learn about other people and other cultures and other languages, it really inspires in them a curiosity to do the same.
And if you could just, for the audience, explain a little bit more about globalization,
how that helps
our children.
Well, it's globalization is here, right? It is undeniable that we live in an increasingly interconnected global world. Ubiquity of communications and technology has really brought us closer together. It's especially apparent in the business world, and that's the world from which I come and where I worked for more than 20 years in various positions around the world, and I saw that, for instance, when I was working in Hong Kong or in New York for large multinational companies, how important it was on a global scale to understand global economies, global currencies, regulations, consumers, that 96% of the world's consumers live outside the United States. So it's a real economic issue for
yes,
businesses.
Yes, and in your book, at one point in your book, I liked how you said how important it is that to start early, because my niece, for instance, she is so fortunate. She is a lawyer who happens to be fluent in Italian, and how important it is to have that second language, because you are competing now. Even in the United States, you're competing with people from other worlds who have that advantage. So
absolutely.
Could you expound on that
absolutely.
A little bit more?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's the world that we actually, that our children are entering. And I think it's one of the main reasons, actually, that people should actually sit up and pay attention. One, you know, there's the wonderful thing that the world is wonderful. It's interesting. It's so much more interesting than, you know, regular old TV shows. That's a personal choice. But then there is a real economic issue where our children, once they do graduate from high school and college, they're actually competing with kids from Bangalore and Beijing and Shanghai and Stockholm and Paris, they're all over. And this kind of closeness and the interconnectivity of the global world is actually creating a need for global workers. So whether it's in business or science or engineering, diplomacy, education, there's a greater need for workers who can actually work cross-culturally, and that includes language skills. So yes, everyone talks about how English is the lingua franca, but there is nothing better than being able to actually speak another language when you're in another country, working with another team or a client or consumers, trying to actually help them appreciate what it is that you're trying to do. And beyond just kind of the one-on-one people-to-people connection, what we're seeing is the growth in these markets around the world, double-digit growth. I mean, everyone talks about the enormous growth that's occurring in China, but it's not just China. It's India, it's Singapore, it's Indonesia, it's Turkey, it's Mexico, our neighbor right next door. There's a tremendous amount of activity going on in Ghana, Ethiopia, South America, throughout the Middle East. And if we don't appreciate and understand kind of global business and how to interact and work with people around the world, then we're not going to be able to get those jobs, because increasingly the revenue generation for large multinational companies is actually coming from outside the United States. So that's where the jobs are.
It's and it's also so important on a personal level. I grew up, as I said, in a multicultural environment, so I was lucky. Whenever I meet someone, I ask them, well, what is your background? And they have to think about it. I said, your heritage. What is your heritage? Where are you from? Because I like to know a little bit about everyone. On a personal note and a humorous note, during Christmas season, I was going around trying to find the best bargain on a Christmas tree, the best bargain. So finally I came to – everybody was so much. So finally I came to one stand and I said – you know, this person looks Spanish to me. So I negotiated in Spanish and got a great deal on a tree. But it's that personalization. When you learn someone's language, there's more of a personal connection because they feel, oh, wow, you care enough to learn to speak to me. And it makes such a difference. Go ahead.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And you know what you touched on was one of the most important things as parents we can actually inspire in our children, and that is the curiosity to ask, where are you from? What do you speak? What's this about? What does this taste like? Can I try that? You know, can we read these books about people growing up in India? You know, what's it like to be a young person in, you know, pick a country? If we inspire that curiosity, that is the first important step, because so much research shows that if we wait until kids go on to college, you know, the ethnocentricity, you said you have a teenager, it starts happening in those teen years. They start focusing on themselves, and then they're less likely to be open. And a lot of the research shows that, you know, you can teach people to actually work internationally on a cognitive or intellectual scale. I mean, you can teach them about regulations and laws and currencies. You can also teach them to actually, they can learn to work with other people who are different if they acquire these soft skills. But the one thing you can't teach adults, at least no one has figured out how to do it yet, is that passion, that fire, that curiosity, that desire to want to actually know, as you did, where that person is from, or to use certain skills with other people, to find it interesting and curious. And that's actually at the heart of the book, and that's where the book begins, because you really need to, this has to be authentic. It cannot be made up. You just can't go through it like checking the boxes of what, let's read some books on this. Oh, let's study Spanish. Oh,
well,
let's watch a foreign film today.
Here's the teacher's recommended list of books.
Right,
to read.
Right.
Here's the recommended list.
Absolutely. It's not that at all. It has to come from inside, and you have to inspire that curiosity, because then you inspire a lifelong learning, a love of the world, you know, an interest in the world, and that will drive our children to pursue other languages, to learn about other cultures, to study abroad when they're in college, which is such an important step for college kids to take. To intern abroad.
Yeah, gap year abroad. Take
terrific
a gap year,
idea.
You know, I just, and this ties into you, I was watching a morning news show, and it's about a chef, a young girl who's a chef. She took a year to go to Thailand to volunteer to work for free in various restaurants to learn their style of cooking for free.
That's
and now
perfect.
She's got one of the top restaurants in New York City.
Yes, and that's a fabulous idea. You know, it's a great story, and it's a wonderful thing, actually, I think, for young people to do, is to do that gap year. Many times students find it difficult to study abroad, and a lot of colleges and universities are making it easier and more affordable for them to study during school. But that gap year does that deep dive immersion into another culture, which that person you mentioned did with foods, which is, of course, a wonderful and a beautiful way. And if you bring real Thai food cooking back to the United States, I mean, that's a great thing. I can see how she would be.
She does Thai Filipina. She's Thai. She does Thai Filipina cooking because her mother says, "We're Philippine. You're going to cook Philippine, right?" So she does it. She calls it hipster trendy, hipster food.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of both worlds, so Thai and Philippine. So it's very interesting, but it's so important. Now, I got to say, what I also loved about Raising Global Children is the personal stories. Would you mind if you can, Raising Global Children is just such a great title. But some of the personal stories I thought was just wonderful. If you have any, would you mind reading one to us?
Yeah, I would love to. And, you know, I'm glad you said that because people love the content of the book and they think the tips and the advice are great. But they always love the stories because the stories enable them to.
I love the stories.
Yeah, it enables them to relate.
I'm a mom. I've been there. I've, like, suffered the pain of PTA. I've suffered, like, what does that mom know that I don't know? She's doing something different. Why is her kid in China? What did I do?
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's great.
And stories. Go ahead.
Sure, and what I was going to say is the stories actually came from in-depth interviews I did with more than 50 people who consider themselves global thinkers and just trying to find out why they, you know, what it was that touched them and what made them this global thinker was really fascinating to me. And again, it reaffirms for me that most of these events happen for these people from 9 to 11, 12 years of age. That's when the kind of light switch went on for them, and they've been kind of global souls ever since. But sure, I'll read a couple of them. One of my favorites are actually the importance of the role of teachers play. You know, we send our kids to school every day, and the teachers are teaching them things. But beyond just teaching them, you know, math and reading and science and the basics, teachers can inspire a love of the world as well. And that's where this is one quote, actually, that I'll read. A person that said their high school Spanish teacher encouraged him to take Spanish after he fulfilled a two-year requirement so he could apply for the school exchange program as a senior. Then he followed her advice even though he wasn't that interested in Spanish, but since the teacher knew the trip would inspire him, it did encourage him to continue studying Spanish in college and then to study abroad and to seek out a career in which he uses his language skills. And he went on to pursue, actually, Portuguese as well. So he's trilingual, and he lives this wonderful global career. Another one I think that is great, again, it has to do with languages. I took French in high school where my teacher noticed my interest and inspired me to keep learning, which I did through college and graduate school. I then studied abroad in France, and I now teach all over the world, most recently in Spain, Poland, South Africa, and the UAE, and it all started with my French teacher. Those are some wonderful things. Another mom who believes that, you know, the world is global, and although having a global mindset may help kids get a job, because that is a big part of it, but it's not just about business and jobs. It's also about opening their eyes and their minds to the big, wide, wonderful world. One of my favorites from Steve Miranda, who has three grown daughters, and he is a great example of how to do this right, kind of proof in the pudding once you've got the three adults who are global citizens. He said, as they grow up, my three daughters will have 100 times more opportunities to interact with the world than I did. Globalization, technology, and the ubiquity of communications have brought the world into our neighborhood. And with the world in their backyard, our children must understand how both to live in it and thrive in it. Raising global children to be global citizens isn't a choice, it's a necessity.
It is so, so true. And sadly, when I do travel around the United States or I'm on tour, I talk to people. I have to change my act, to tell you the truth, because I'm Puerto Rican and Italian. And I said, they have no idea what I'm talking about right now. They have no idea of the cultural references other than West Side Story. They have no ground for understanding. And in this time, it's so important to understand what's going on and so important to respect people from other cultures, because people are very limited. They know from television, they know from film, but they don't really understand because they haven't lived it or through it, and it's so great. And now the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages, that they're your publisher, is that correct?
Yes, they are, and they're great, yep.
And that is so terrific that they that they've done this, and I know this isn't your first book. Would you tell me the titles of the other two as well?
Sure. Most recently, Before Raising Global Children, A Student Guide to Study Abroad, and that was published by the Institute of International Education, and actually I co-authored that with Dr. Alan Goodman and Sir Cyril Taylor, and it's a how-to guide to study abroad, a great book for parents and students in high school and college on how to do that. And the Go Global, Launching an International Career Here or Abroad, was my second book, and that was written for young professionals who are interested in a global career. And the first book that kind of started it all off for me was Get Ahead by Going Abroad, A Woman's Guide to Fast-Track Career Success. And that was published by HarperCollins. Yes, it was great. You would appreciate it. It's a way to use your international experience, your language, your international adventures and work experience to actually catapult your career. And that's really what started it, because a lot of companies...
That sounds like a great gift for college girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the great, wonderful stories in that as well of inspiring women who actually picked up and moved around the world. And it's not just American women. The book focuses on women all over the world who lived in many places all over the world, inspiring others to do the same.
All right, so right now I'd like to tell the chat room, people are popping in and out of the chat room, I see it, but I'd like to tell them where they can get the book. Raising Global Children is now available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or, hey, go to www.StacyBurdan.com and check it out there. And I'm glad to see it's going to be available on the Nook?
It is.
Kindle?
It's on Nook, Kindle, iPad, yep, it's on digital platforms. You can find it most anywhere as an e-book and a paperback.
Which is great for, I'm not sure where you're located, but I'm in a snowstorm in New York City right now, which is great for the inbound, and you can't run out to get the book, get it today on your Kindle or your Nook and start reading it now, because it's never too late or too soon to start bettering your child in this way. And it's such a great thing that you've done, that it's a lot of work. I could tell that the book was a lot of work, because it's not just, it's research and it's facts and then the collecting of information. It's just so great. And it's great that it's available in so many venues as well. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or go directly to the source, StacyBurdan.com. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's such a reasonable price. I can't believe that. $5.99. Oh, my gosh. That is such a reasonable price to get this information. And there's no reason. I think you can even get Kindle on your iPhone now. So this is a great start. What other can you believe how fast the time has flown? You're so interesting. What a great guest. You're so interesting. I have like 1,000 questions. But what information would you like to impart in parting that you think is most vital, say, to students today? Say if they're starting late in this. Is there a chance for them? Can we bring them back?
Yes, there is never for students today, there's depending on what age, but it is never too late to start learning about the world. I think it's going to continue to be an even more so increasingly interconnected global world that we all live in, that we will work in, that we will be, you know, we'll need to interact and communicate with people from other cultures, so it's never too late. Learning another language, it is not too late. There are so many ways to do that. I think no matter how old a person is, I'm even, you know, trying to pursue it myself in my spare time, people should try to learn another language because it can make a difference. It can be a huge career differentiator. Once you're in high school and college, study abroad. Don't be turned off just thinking that, oh, it's too expensive or I can't do it, it's not for me. Make it happen for yourself, because so many students have done it, and there are ways to look for programs at your college and your campus.
Do you have some tips for them?
Sure. Well, first, buy Student Guide to Study Abroad. That's a great book, 10 chapters, jam-packed with tips on how to make it happen. And it really is a wonderful book for students who are considering it. Do your research. You know, it's not all about fun and games. Study abroad is not just about having a good time going with American professors with kids from your campus on a study tour. You may as well become a tourist. Buy a, you know, buy a round-trip ticket somewhere and save yourself a lot of money. Make sure that you actually do the research and you go on a great cross-cultural study abroad, maybe intern, maybe work abroad. There are wonderful things out there now for students to do it. But you have to look and you have to do your own work. Look into scholarships. You know, there is the IIE, the Institute of International Education, does a great job at providing study abroad funding information out there. So if you go on their website, IIE.org, you can find out tremendous amounts of scholarships, Rotary scholarships, the Gilman, the Boren, the Fulbright scholarships. There's so much money actually out there. It's competitive, yes, but look for that as well. And definitely make study abroad part of your college adventure. And if you're a high school student, start looking at colleges that actually offer great study abroad programs. Go in an exchange program if you can as a high school student. But there's so much value in opening up your eyes and pursuing global opportunities in whatever way, shape, or form that you can get them, and it will be a positive, it'll have a positive impact on your career, whether you're going to go into business, engineering, math, being an educator, a diplomat, government worker, even in manufacturing. It makes a big difference to have this global experience.
And I do think, as we said, on the personal level, just the fact that, you know, I can say, how is your family in a foreign language to somebody, it changes their day. If you say, you know, how, you know, como está tu familia, it's just like, oh, wow, thank you for asking. You know, can I get you anything else? It just changes someone's day on so many levels. And it I think your book really stresses education and just giving children a better sense of tolerance, too. When you see the news, more tolerant. You know these people. This is what they're going through. More curiosity, inspiring curiosity, and touching on these wonderful things. Raising Global Children, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Go to Stacey Berdan. And actually, why don't you follow her? Because I'm sure this is not her last book. So go to www.stacyberdan.com and check her out. And remember, Nook, Kindle, it's all there for you. Raising Global Children. This has been such a fascinating interview. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today, Stacey. Is there one last thing you'd like to add before we leave?
You've done such a great job, and I really would like to thank you because you know, I don't meet people like you every day. Everyone does not appreciate and understand it as much as you have and have been able to articulate that. So I really appreciate that. And the more people, actually, that can read the book, learn about it. One last tip, I guess, for parents is advocate. Don't just don't watch your child go through the school system and not be exposed to global education. Be an active participant and advocate for language learning as early as possible, you know, helping teachers create a global classroom, you know, writing letters to members of Congress. As parents, we have a lot of power, and we actually need to work together to actually change the education system so that actually it includes foreign language learning beginning in kindergarten and extending all the way through 12th grade and actually including global education in our curriculum. So those are two great things I think that we need to aspire to as a nation in order to help our children prepare them for the global economy that they're all going to be working in.
I think in one word, if I could sum it up, parents, Stacey is telling you, participate. Be a part of the process. Thank you so much, Stacey, for being on our show. Remember, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or go to StaceyBerdan.com and follow her on Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, and actually, yeah, like us on Raising Global Children.
Oh, and I'll do that right after the show. I'm going to go like you because I like you already. Thank you. Thank you for being a guest, and we're down to our last 90 seconds. Thank you, Stacey Berdan, Raising Global Children. Wonderful book. Thank you very much. Okay, thanks so much. I'm signing off now. Sure. What a great guest that was. Oh, it's terrific. And we'll go out on a little float. That was a great guest, very interesting. Every now and then, Comedy Concepts likes to elevate and educate her audience, and I hope this has been very helpful to you. I'd like to also announce that tomorrow, speaking of women, I want to read Stacey's book on women. That was very interesting. Tomorrow, Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Addict Headquarters Can Women Save the World? French filmmaker Emmanuel Aitier drops by Movie Attic headquarters, 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio to discuss Femi, Women Healing the World. Well, speaking of the world, we've got a theme going. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic headquarters, thank you so much. What an interesting guest. Check out that book, okay? Go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Nook, Kindle, it's all there. Go to Stacey Burdan and please like her page for me. If you're listening, Betty Jo, could you like the page, Raising Global Children? And I'm going to check that out later. Thank you all for tuning in today. And this is your host, Nancy Lombardo, on Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio, where comedy is a concept, but always be learning something. Thank you for joining us today.